Well, hey, friends, welcome back to another episode of Watch This. Watch This is a weekly podcast where we take a deep dive into TV shows, movies, whatever we are watching currently, and we want to invite you to watch with us. My name's James.
And my name's John, and this week we are watching Westworld Season 2, Episode 9, the penultimate episode of Season 2.
Oh, so if you have not watched through Episode 9 of Season 2 of Westworld, you should not listen to this podcast unless you want us to literally spoil the entire episode.
And most of the season also, yeah, if you're not to this point. Yeah,
if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't watched Westworld, I can't help you.
I also might be kind of like, I might be kind of impressed by that also at the same time.
Yeah, if you found this podcast,
you're a very interesting person and I would like to meet you.
Yeah, if you listen to this podcast and you've never listened to Westworld, but you listen to this episode, we want to know you. And yeah.
you just don't care. You're doing stuff for you and no one else. You're not meeting anybody's expectations but your own, and I appreciate it.
You do you, boo. So, obviously there's spoilers. Obviously, we're almost done. I cannot believe it. There's about to be a Westworld-shaped hole in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to find different and new and exciting ways to fill that void. I bet
we can find some shows to watch.
But let's just dive into it. And I don't know about you, but to me, the storyline we got to dive into is old William, a.k.a. the Man in Black. He was very important in this episode.
Yeah, let's just go for William. You know, I listen to several Westworld podcasts, and they always save all the big things for last. And I'm like, you know what? This isn't a recap podcast, so let's just talk about it because we can.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, like, it was the most interesting thing. It's what I'm most excited to talk about.
Yeah, I'm cool with spending our time with William. So in this episode, we get a little bit of backstory about not necessarily the young William, but the sort of pre-season one Westworld William. We get to meet his wife before she kills herself. Mm-hmm. We get to see his daughter, who we have met in the park as an adult lady with him and so they're at some sort of event for the Man in Black, who's being recognized. He is a fancy man.
Yeah. So, you know, he's running this crazy giant, apparently like the Google times Microsoft of the world that we now live in the future that is Westworld. Yeah. And they're throwing him some big party, and his wife is super, super sloshed. She's had a few drinks.
Indeed.
7, 8, 9, 12 drinks, something like that.
It's a lot, but she still is able to quote some philosophers, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So she's drinking a lot. William is annoyed by her. Grace is there. She's also annoyed by her mom.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of leaving, and they're going to meet. They're going to go back to their house. And also in that timeline, we see Robert Ford out of Westworld.
Yes.
For I guess the second time ever. We see him one time in the 40 year before time period where they're pitching Westworld to people like Logan. But this is the first time we see him as an adult outside the park, which is pretty cool. And he has a conversation with William. He gives him a little card with his personal information on it. And basically says, you know, we had this deal. You were going to stay out of my stories and I was going to stay out of your stuff. And you may want to check in on the things that you've done.
Yeah. Yeah. He slides in the card, which is basically like, you know, we've established in this season that they're recording everything that people do in Westworld. And this is
right.
William's recording. And as we know, because we watched the show, it's going to be real messed up.
Yeah, William is a bad person.
He's a real bad guy in Westworld.
Yeah,
well, for sure. So he takes his drunk wife home, and like they have a moment. Like, and this is revealed little through little throughout the episode, but I just kind of want to go through this little timeline. But you know, he takes his drunk wife home, and she's basically like, you know, you're fake. You're total phony. everything you do here is fake. You know, you're not real. You're not a real person. Yeah. And she asked him to say any, like, one real thing to her. And he's basically like, when he finally does, it's something along the lines of, "You're right, I never loved you, and I hate this world, and I am fake."
Yeah, it was the ultimate sort of confession in a lot of ways, right? There's this stain. I don't know where it came from or when it came, but it's here. I've never loved you or anything in this world. There's another world that sort of owns me.
Yeah.
And he thinks that she is asleep. She is not.
She is not. She's not asleep.
She hears all of that confession. And also sees where he places his little microchip card, his little credit card that Ford gave him with all of his bad deeds on it.
Yes. So she watches that, which includes, you know, him dragging Dolores into a barn and raping her and all the other awful, terrible things that he's done in Westworld.
Yep. So she decides that she puts the card away in the music box, interestingly enough, which is part of the episode. And then she kills herself while the man in black, William, is downstairs with his daughter talking about taking the mom to rehab. Yep. So crazy. It brought a lot of closure, honestly. And one of the things that we've talked about this season is that maybe the man in black has some good left in him, you know, like maybe there's part of him that's going to turn out to be some sort of like anti-hero, but help the cause. And this episode to me just really confirmed that he is just a bad person.
Yeah. I no longer feel that way. I feel he's like he's a terrible, awful, terrible, awful human being is how I feel about him now.
It also confirms something which the show hinted at big time in season one, which is that he was in love with Dolores.
Yep.
But he's treated her so poorly in all of the flashbacks and in the season that you start wondering, like, maybe he didn't, you know, or he got his heart broken.
I think he loves the version of himself that he gets to be in Westworld. And he equates that with Dolores in a way.
Right. It's like he loves the idea of her. The thing that he experienced that first time that he was there.
Yeah.
He can't get back to that, and he wants to. And in season one, there's the first time that we see William meet Dolores, you know, in that timeline. He drags her into the barn, and you think he's going to like kill her or, you know, do something terrible to her, but he really just wants to ask her about the maze. Yeah. Right. And so you're like, oh, well, that's weird, you know. But then now you see on this card, like, he's dragged her into the barn a lot of times.
Yeah.
probably not just about the maze. So
no, I think a lot of times to do terrible things.
Yeah. So I mean, like, it just confirms like how bad he is and how bad the park is for him. And I agree. It's like, I don't know that he's necessarily in love with Dolores, but he can't get over that experience that he had. And he can't get back there either. So it's driving him crazy.
Yeah. So you mentioned the music box. And so when we pick up with him later down in the future at the park, his daughter has come and gotten him from Ghost Nation, and she's kind of nursing him back to health. And they have a conversation where she says that, you know, she blamed herself for her mom's suicide for a while because, you know, things she did, like when her mom gave her the music box, she responded by throwing it in the trash and saying, like, "Hey, if you were ever sober, you'd know I don't dance anymore." And so when we see the music box later that she puts the card in, we know that, you know, that was left for his daughter oh my gosh. So, William still believes that his daughter's not real and that Ford is actually his, like, controlling this replica of his daughter.
Yeah, there's something that they're not telling us, and he alluded to the fact that his daughter was gone last season. Like, he said that.
Yeah.
But, like, she's there, that he something has happened, you know, since his wife killed herself. Something, you know, has estranged them, and he doesn't even understand why she's there. Well, she's, you know, so
one thing you'll notice is it kind of gave us a decent idea of at least the some significant amount of time has passed since his wife's mm-hmm. suicide, because his daughter has pretty short hair when his wife committed suicide. And her hair is like down below shoulder length now that she's in the park. So it's been at least a decent amount of time, enough for her hair to have grown that long.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So whether he thinks that she's just gone because she's gone, right? She's not been around. He doesn't understand why she's there. And he just keeps yelling at her like it's Ford. He just keeps like yelling at Ford via her.
And there's also something... There's also something he points out that we talked about last week. How did she find him?
Yeah.
Like, how does she keep finding him? And that's one of the reasons he thinks that she's actually a host, is because she was able to track him down with Ghost Nation. And he mentions, like, you could travel in here for hundreds of days and never find somebody you were looking for.
Yeah. And that is kind of a valid question. Like, how does she find him twice now?
Yeah, twice. You know, like, she's tracked him down.
She found him from when she was in the Raj, you know, finds him on a horse. Hey, Dad. And then he leaves her, and now she finds him again. There is some question there about how that happened. But as far as we can tell, his daughter is real, and he really does shoot her.
Like, yes. So she calls for help, real. And they show up, and he steals a gun, shoots all of them. She's like, holy crap, those are real people. And then she's trying to, like, show him the card with his profile on it. He shoots her, too.
Because he's convinced. Like, yeah. He's convinced that nobody else knows about his profile. She's like, I've read your profile. You know, I've seen your profile. And he's like, no one but Ford knows about that and me. And then you realize through the flashbacks that other people do know, and actually everyone that knows about your profile ends up dead.
Yeah.
that's crazy, the proxy, right? Of this. Yeah, like it was kind of mind-blowing that in different ways
so
he was responsible for that.
Then the last thing we need to talk about with the Man in Black, the to me the biggest thing is throughout the episode he keeps touching his arm in the same spot that on the same arm that they cut into the host to pull out that port.
Yeah.
And the episode ends with him, like, cutting into that spot into his own arm.
Yeah. And we see Bernard, who ejects Ford's flash drive from himself via the port. You know, we see that happen, right? We see him get into the port. So, like...
We've seen that a couple times. We saw him do it with Dolores' dad, Peter Abernathy, that's too. Right. So, we've seen that a few times this season.
So, they're trying to tell us that every host has a port there.
Yeah. Yeah.
In their kind of forearm. And he acts weird around it. So, I mean, the question for the last episode is going to be, is Ford a human host? Or is he a host, or is he
Is William
just a human?
Is William just human crazy? Or a host or a hybrid? Like, what is William? Like, what in the world? And so what do you think he is?
Okay, so for most of this season, I felt like they were setting you up to think that he is a host. He gets hurt a lot. He goes on these weird missions for Ford. He acts so crazy. In this episode, he's, you know, looking at his arm. He, like, you know, puts a gun to his head and doesn't kill himself. Like, he feels like such a martyr, but at the same time, like, he, you know, has caused this. And so I don't think he's a host, though. I think that he wishes that he was a host.
That's where I am. I think they've set that up and, like, put it in the back of your mind all season.
Yeah.
And I think he is trying to justify the way he feels, the fact that he doesn't feel like he belongs in the real world, the fact that he feels like he only belongs in Westworld, the terrible, awful things that he's done. I think he's trying to figure out a way to justify it all, and I think he hopes that he's a host, but I don't think he is.
Yeah, I feel exactly like that. Like, he at one point he didn't, I feel like he didn't want to be a host, right? Like he was running away from maybe that reality.
Yeah.
But now it feels like he wants to be a host because he is an evil, terrible man. And if he's a host, he can be like, oh, I'm a part robot. That's why I killed my wife. But,
yeah.
You know, if he's just literally the worst human ever, then that's all on him and he's crazy. So, yeah, I think he wants to be a host and I don't think that he is a host.
I don't either.
Or at some point he's become some sort of hybrid thing that we haven't really seen before, like the Jim Delos 2.0.
Yeah, like maybe so him and his daughter have a conversation for a while about what it would take for them to be able to, you know, get the fidelity they're looking for. And she basically said, like, you have to have a perfect map of the brain. Like, it'll have to be more than just, like, seeing what people do here. It'll have to be a perfect map. But maybe he has spent so much time in Westworld that he is the exception. What if he does have the perfect map because he's there all the flipping time?
He also wears his hat all the time, which we learn in this episode.
The same hat.
Is how they track your like cerebral.
Yeah.
His daughter's saying like, well, yeah, if you track their actions, but how do you track their, you know, how they feel about it, how they respond. And he's like, oh, we just put a thing in your hat.
which
people have really not liked. I thought it was fine though. Like,
yeah, the thing is like, they make a point in the very first episode of Westworld that like, hey, pick your hat. Like here, you know, wear a hat. Here's your hat to wear. It's not like it's something that not everybody, like everybody in Westworld's wearing a cowboy hat. That's part of like the fun. Like, oh, here, put your hat on. It's fun.
So yeah. So people like just railed against this and I'm like, it's the most inconspicuous way to gather data about people.
Yeah.
Like, it makes perfect sense.
Where else would you have put it? Like, what else would you have done?
Because the whole idea of the Delos project is that on the surface, it has nothing to do with Westworld, right?
Yeah.
People come to Westworld to pay $40,000 a day to have a human theme park, you know, where they go and live out these terrible ideals. So like you can't be like, oh, by the way, you have to wear this heart rate monitor. Like it has to fit into the environment. And so this is fun. The Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy did like some stuff at some press events earlier this year.
Yeah.
And they gave all the reporters who came to the press event hats. Like there were not a lot of them out, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe a hundred, you know, a few hundred, maybe like, you know, it was not a big release, but everyone who came to these special Westworld pop-up events got a hat, which is just so if the only reason they put that in the show was to make, you know, to make that connection, it was worth it.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
I mean, I think the fact that there's, you know, points in season one where, you know, they're actively encouraging the guests to wear a hat and to pick a cowboy hat, and they make a big deal out about picking your hat.
Yeah, and let's remember that all the crazy theories everyone figured out that William was the Man in Black. But if you were just watching the show for pure enjoyment and not diving into Reddit's world, the reveal of that is Jimmy Simpson. Old young William puts on the black hat, and in this like crossfade, Ed Harris looks up with the black hat. Like that is the hat is the way that they transition to tell you that they're the same person. So people are hating on it. And I'm like, this is important to the show. I understand why they did it.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it.
I don't, it may not be the most scientifically logical thing, but it, and as far as the story arc goes, I totally get it.
But he's, I mean,
the Man in Black hat.
If you're gonna argue about scientifically logical in Westworld, though, you just stop. Yeah. Just don't do that.
Yeah, like how do these hosts survive? And
right,
how
they're also hosts that have consciousness and act and look like people and have skin and organs and stuff, but don't need them, but kind of do need them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and like Akechta lives for almost 10 years without coming in for a checkup. Really, you know, like I don't know. It's this technology is not something that we have, so, yeah, so we can let it slide.
They're, if they're able to do that and potentially like turn people into robots, I think they can put like a brain scanner inside of a hat. I think it's fine.
Seems easy enough. So we learn more about the Delos sort of project. We learn that the Valley Beyond Glory, all the things that they're going to, is called the Forge with a G.
Yeah, and it kind of sounded like that's where they store all this information that they've been gathering and collecting from the people, is at the Forge.
Yeah, it's the human cradle. So the cradle is for the hosts. The Forge is way bigger, and it's for all the people. Because think about all the people that have come to Westworld over the last 36 years. A lot.
Yes.
A lot of people.
Very many. So, oh man, guess we should talk about some of the other characters that we see before we dive into our theories about what's going to happen next. But
sounds good.
So Ford Bernard
yeah,
Ford Arnold that guy. So he and Ford are walking around, sneaking around, getting ready to leave the facility. But Ford has a very important stop to make. He needs to go see Maeve.
Yeah.
And send her a message that he left for her in Bernard's brain. And that message is basically like, Maeve is Ford's favorite.
Yeah.
He loves her and he considers her his child, which I had no clue what, like, there had been really nothing to this point to indicate that to me.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. And he made it sound like that Maeve is to Ford as Dolores was to Arnold.
Yeah.
Like, I loved you the most. You're special. I wanted to give you something else. I wanted to give you a way out. Like, he wanted, like Maeve, you know, was on the train to leave the park.
Yeah.
And that's actually what Ford wanted for her.
Yeah, apparently
that was his
narrative for her, was to get her out of the park.
Yeah. I don't know what she would have done outside of the park.
I don't know.
And he didn't even really allude to that. He just wanted, I think that he maybe just wanted a host to be free.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it was her. He wanted her to be free and to go try to live her best life.
Yeah.
But he like says like, but you know, you came back to save your child, so that's what I'm doing. And he basically told her, they're going to try to shut you down. Don't let them.
Yeah. And so he restores her like superpowers back. And so that's going to be fun. But she's got to get out of there somehow. And right now, like, her body is like flayed open on the table.
Yes,
so.
But she is interacting, not even with the hosts right now, it doesn't look like, but with like the whole system. She was like you saw like the like iPad thing doing a bunch of stuff. So
yeah,
she's interacting with the system somehow. So I don't know what she's going to do, but you know, it's Maeve, so it's going to be flipping awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And she's like the super IT admin now. has admin rights. And honestly, maybe what she contributes doesn't even have to be physically there because she has all the access now.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, obviously this season we've seen her control host minds. We saw her in, like, maybe that's why they went to Shogun World, was to show us that she just needs to stand there. Right. She can speak every language. She can do everything in her mind. So she doesn't actually have to be at the Forge to do what she needs to accomplish and what Ford needs her to do. Maybe she doesn't get out of the Mesa, but she now has access. Maybe that's enough.
Maybe. Yeah, that's enough for her to feel like she can save her daughter.
Yeah, so Maeve, you know, she has a thing. Also, she knows that, you know, Ghost Nation has her daughter and that she's safe with them.
Yeah.
They're gonna take care of her. So she's good, and she can do her, you know, super IT support. So also let's talk about Teddy and Dolores.
Yeah.
This was a really interesting moment for them. And Teddy Teddy decides that he doesn't like his new upgrades anymore, basically. Yeah.
So I feel like they've really hinted at that since it happened. Like, he's made a couple, like, really passive-aggressive comments. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, he said something like, you know, I always thought I wanted to get out of here, or I wanted to stay here forever, but I guess you fixed that, too. Mm-hmm. And, oh, you know, you changed me, you fixed me. And so...
It's also interesting because, like, they changed everything about him, but he knows that because they didn't do a hard reset. They didn't do the hard reset.
Yeah, they just changed it. And they even warned him, like, hey, if you do this, like, you don't do a hard reboot, like, it might not be fully effective. And so they have a run-in with Ghost Nation, and Teddy's, like, shooting all the people, but one guy gets away, and Teddy just can't bring himself to kill another person.
Yeah. Which again is like going against his like programming.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't do that with Craddock before Dolores changed him to be a bad guy, sort of, you know. But right. Now, even with his change, he's still like wrestling with, is this right or not? Am I just doing what the Wyatt version of Dolores wants me to do? So lets him go. And then they're sort of at this barn, and he's saying basically that Dolores is his cornerstone memory.
Yeah.
And yeah, which was very interesting. You know, obviously they're like together throughout the show, mm-hmm. but at one point in season one, you're like rooting for William and not Teddy.
Yeah.
You know, so like it's kind of been a weird love story for them, but it's not even necessarily that it's a love story. It's that they're like connected via this cornerstone memory. Which is interesting.
So Teddy is talking to her about how, like, you know, the first thing he remembers is her and how he'll always protect her and he always loves her. And he pulls his gun and Dolores is like, oh, don't hurt me, Teddy. He's like, oh, I'd never hurt you, Dolores. I'm going to protect you till the day I die. I can't protect you anymore. And so he pulls the gun and he shoots himself. And what I thought was interesting is because like she was like, no, you have free will now. And he's basically like, no, I don't. You took that away from me. Like, you're saying that we all have free will, but you're the one that changed me and made me different. You took away my free will.
So there's I just thought about this. This is an interesting thing between they're putting Dolores and Maeve sort of on either side of this, right? They're the two most woke hosts who have come about it in different ways and who are experiencing it in different ways. And you see Maeve not bring Sakura back to life in Shogun World and like obey someone else's sort of desire, right? Like she didn't force all that on them. She let them experience those things.
Yeah.
And you see Dolores, who just takes every matter into her own hands, is like, Teddy's not doing what I want. I'll change him. You know, I'll change anybody. I'll kill anyone that doesn't do what I want. She's using her abilities for her personal gain. Whereas Maeve is actually becoming aware like of the depth of those emotions and the depth of her potential. Whereas Dolores is like on a one track, you know, shoot 'em up mission. And so it's an interesting like dichotomy between them. And I think you see that with Teddy, who now is rebelling against the Dolores model.
Yeah. And so I think it's really interesting that you have Maeve who's becoming in some ways a lot more human in that, you know, she's experiencing emotions and feelings and thoughts that are unique and special to her. We even see that with Ford. Ford's like, hey, this isn't what I meant for you to do. Like you did your own thing. Like you thought your own thoughts and felt your own feelings and it's amazing. And you have Dolores who in some ways is also becoming more human in that that's what she knows humans to be because the human that she knows best besides besides Arnold is the man in black is William who.
Ooh.
And so I think in some ways she's also becoming more human in that what she knows humans is this cruel, evil, terrible person that tortures and kills and does everything for their own gain.
Wow, that's a good thought. Like the stain of William, the darkness in him, maybe has like also partially infected Dolores.
I kind of think it has, because I mean, if you think about it, like Ghost Nation calls her the Deathbringer, and you know, I think that's also a very fitting nickname for William at this point, because you know, we watched him murder Lawrence's entire town that one, you know, in season one.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he's also this guy who brings a lot of death and destruction everywhere he goes. You know, scalping people, which is just messed up and weird and sick.
Yeah.
And so I think that stain that has started to infect Dolores, I think that might be true.
That's good. Dolores is the new Man in Black.
Yeah.
Wow. That's full circle.
I mean, if you think about it, like in season one, we kept hearing about Wyatt and how evil Wyatt was and how terrible Wyatt was. And the Man in Black was like ready to go, like take on Wyatt and fight Wyatt. Like that sounded pretty fun for the Man in Black.
Yeah.
And they're kind of one and the same in a lot of ways. And it kind of makes me wonder if Wyatt, for Ford's version of Wyatt, isn't somewhat inspired by the Man in Black.
Wow. I like this line of thinking, and it makes a lot of sense. And what you see this season is that the Man in Black is on his own, like, personal mission, but what he's doing has, like, almost no effect at this point on anyone else but himself and his family.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's off doing his own thing, playing Ford's game, you know, that he set up for him. And Dolores is Wyatt. And in season one, we're like, oh, Wyatt is just in Dolores's mind, right? Wyatt was just a program that Arnold made so Dolores could kill him, you know, like, cause she wouldn't do it. So Wyatt's basically just like a virtual machine. But in this season, we're like, no, Wyatt is Dolores. They are one and the same. She bad.
Yeah, and well, there was a moment in season one when the Man in Black, you know, and her, like, when it has that big reveal that William is the Man in Black, there's that moment where, you know, she sees him as the ultimate evil person. And she's like, no, William will stop you. William will save me. And he's like, well, I am William, idiot. And yeah,
that's right.
And so I guess when she clicks over and she becomes the evil, she becomes the ultimate evil. I think that in part she's modeling it after what she knows is being the most evil person.
Yeah, she's not Dolores anymore. She is the Deathbringer / Wyatt. She's back, just like William sort of put off William and became, like, he played the Man in Black for long enough that's who he is.
Yeah.
That stain is now who he is. Dolores has been the Wyatt character really since Journey to Night began, and she shot Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Like, now she is Wyatt. There is no Dolores anymore. Maybe this season has just been her now this is her journey into night. Like, she's doing that.
Yeah.
Boom. She is journeying into darkness. And maybe Ford knows that she had to do this to get to the Valley Beyond. Like this cataclysmic event had to happen. Because he sets off, right? Journey into Night is his narrative.
Yeah.
He introduces it at the party, right? And talks about free will and choice and evil and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, this happens. So maybe Dolores is Journey into Night.
Yeah.
There you go.
I like that too.
Boom.
The last storyline was Bernard Ford-nold.
Yeah.
So they head off with Elsie to go to the Valley Beyond, and Ford is like, hey, you know what you should do? You should kill her. You should kill Elsie. Do it.
Yeah. She's going to betray you. You should just kill her.
You just got to do it. You're different. She's going to hurt you. But Bernard doesn't want to do it. And so while she's out gathering some weapons and ammo and stuff, Bernard plugs in and starts deleting Ford.
Yeah. He does an eject of Ford out of his system, which is pretty interesting, and maybe the first time in a long time that Bernard has done something that he wanted to do.
Yeah,
mostly, I guess.
So my question is, is that what Ford was? Because Ford was basically like, hey, you're not strong enough to do it on your own. Do you think that's what he was trying to do? He was trying to push Bernard to like stand up and be on his own, because he also like left Elsie and was like, I gotta go, I'll do this, you'll be safe here, and he took off on his own.
Yeah, I do think that Ford has been mean to Bernard because he is trying to push him over the edge.
Yeah.
To do something. I also feel really bad for Elsie, who gets left again. You know, like she just keeps getting abandoned by Bernard.
Yeah, she does.
He's like, gotta go. You know, here's your bucket and some protein bars. Gotta go. Here's a little transponder. Somebody will come pick you up soon. It's just like, poor Elsie. She just really gets, gets shafted this whole time.
Yeah, she does. So I hope she'll be okay. It might be the middle of next season before we again know what's going on. That's just what's going to happen. She's going to keep disappearing.
Elsie's going to be like sitting at Olive Garden or somewhere, you know, like
Bernard walks in and she's like, oh, hell, she's like, no,
I'm out. I'm out.
I'm not having dinner with this guy. Nuh-uh.
That's right. This message is from a man named Bernard. She's like, nope, 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 nope. Get me out of here.
Out.
Yeah. So Bernard,
I work at Lady Foot Locker now. I'm not trying to deal with this.
That's right. Bernard ejects Ford. Which I think he wanted him to. I don't think that he fought him on that. I think that was always his plan. And you know, Bernard gets really angry and yells for him to get out of his head.
Yep.
And so Bernard takes off for the Valley Beyond. He somewhat understands what he has to do. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's hard to know who of all these groups really grasps the Valley Beyond and what it is and what they're going to do with it, because we still don't have 100% of the information about what's there and how it works.
Yeah. This next episode, I think, is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Because for the first time in this entire thing, since really the first episode of this season, well, really never, they're all going to be together.
Yeah.
The gang's all here, right? We're all coming together to this central location. It's been like this season has been like one of those things that you used to see at the mall that you put a coin in, you know, and it spins and it spins and it spins, and eventually it spins and goes down the hole.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just been this like spin cycle where the coin is spinning around, and now we're going to get to the middle.
A lot has to happen.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to get to the Valley Beyond, figure out exactly what it is and what everybody wants to do with it, and figure out still how in the world we got to Bernard waking up on the beach,
mm-hmm.
and
a flooded valley.
The flooded valley and all the bodies in the water.
Yeah, with a third of them who have like complete like virgin chestnuts who've never been used before.
Yeah. So
which is maybe, and that little like thing that they said there is probably what confuses me the most about what's about to happen. Because if there were just dead hosts in the water, you're like, oh, well, they're all the hosts that, you know, rebelled and brought them down. But it's like, wait,
that little nugget leaves a lot of questions to be answered.
And they said that in the most random time ever. Like, it was just like this random flash forward where this girl's on a walkie-talkie like, yeah, we're down here with these people and, you know, this is weird. And then it's just like, they haven't talked about it since then.
And we haven't really seen those people in the future, like in that future space, for a couple of episodes. Like,
yeah, the other Skarsgård brother. Yeah, Gustav Skarsgård, we rarely have barely seen him.
Yeah.
Because we're not there yet in the timeline.
Yep.
Which is weird. I got to go back and watch episode one again before I watch the finale.
Sure.
Because that's actually going to be the timeline that we're back in. So, it's exciting, though.
Yeah, so the question is, I guess, what do you think... what do you think is going to go down? Like, what do you think everybody wants with the Valley Beyond?
So, Delos, I think, does not want it to be destroyed, right?
Sure,
that's
of course.
All yeah. of their IP. That's like going into Google and blowing it up, you know, like, and they don't have a backup. I mean, that's what it seems like. Like, and if they have some backups, like, I don't think they have a full backup because the Forge is huge. Like, how could they back this up in any other way? So, like, this is the sum of all of Delos's work, the bazillion dollars that they've spent doing this project. So they want to protect it. Ghost Nation wants to open the door. Dolores wants to open the door.
I think Dolores wants to hold it hostage and or destroy it.
Sure.
I think that's her plan, is to use it like as a weapon against the Delos Corporation.
But I think she wants out too.
Yeah, because she says that it's not. But she also says like something to Ghost Nation about how like it's not what you think it is. Like it's not the door that you think it is. It's not like that's another true. Nice world. I think she's all about chaos at this point. She's just like all about destruction and chaos and madness.
Yeah. So everyone wants something different from the Forge, from the Valley Beyond, from Glory. And I think we're about to find out. One exciting thing is that the finale is 90 minutes long.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so there is time. Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
I just read that this week. So there is time, right?
Right.
We're getting basically an episode and a half finale. So there is time to tell all these stories. Here's what I hope happens, and I will be happy with, as long as they give me some sort of closure about what happens in the Valley Beyond. Like, I will not be okay if they just leave it all as a complete cliffhanger and don't connect whatever happens at the end of this episode with Bernard waking up on the beach. Even if they don't tell me all of the answers, they need to pull those two frames together for me.
I think you have to. I think you have to have like that all tied together, or oh my goodness, I'm going to be furious.
Season one was a very good ending, right?
Yeah.
The William arc answered. The Dolores arc answered. Who's Wyatt? We got it, right? We recreated the massacre. Ford has now sacrificed himself. It opened up a whole world of chaos, right? The actual end is like people running around and screaming and there's gunfire. Like, it was crazy, but it answered all the questions, right? It opened up a whole new world for season two. It opened up a whole new, you know, storyline, but they resolved what they needed to. And so I just really hope that they do that again and they don't pull some sort of like Lost in between season or some other shows that just end on like the worst cliffhangers.
Yeah, see, I think the thing that really worked for me about season one is it left like a cliffhanger that started a new chapter of the story, but it tied up all the mysteries it gave you to start that season. And so, you know, in some ways, if they never made a season two, it was a pretty well-contained show, even though it had a cliffhanger, even though it was open-ended. I think you've got to do that again. I think that's the way you have to treat it.
Yeah, I agree. And so they know who watches this show. They know that people care about it. So I trust them in that. I just, man, it could go 100 different ways.
It could absolutely. There's
think about all that we've learned this season. And now think about all that we don't know at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is the literal questions that we asked in the first 10 minutes of episode one, which is why is this valley flooded and who are these people? And why is Bernard waking up on this beach completely unaware of who he is, without a scar on his head and without his glasses?
So one thing I'll ask you is like,
okay,
are there any questions going back even maybe to season one that you feel like we still haven't quite gotten closure on?
Oh man. I mean, up until episode eight, Ghost Nation, right.
Yeah,
was my biggest question. So that got answered. I think my only other, I have a couple questions. One of them is, how much does Ford know about the project? Which I feel like we got a little bit of closure. He knows more than, you know, he obviously knows, which that was my thing, was like, secret labs, what? Ford doesn't know? Like, okay, he has to know. So I want to know about the, there's Westworld, and then there's what Delos wants to do with Westworld. And at some point, those things have like converged and gone on maybe alternate paths, but there's like a meshing of those, a mesh network, if you will, that what changed, right? William convinces Delos to invest basically everything into Westworld. Like, what is going on with that? So I just want to know more, and maybe that's a season three thing. Like, you know, we're just learning about the extent of Delos's experiments. And I just can't believe that Jim Delos is the only thing that they've done with all of this data and stuff in the Forge and all this, you know, work that they've got. Like, I want to know how those things both started and how this became a joint venture with Delos and Ford. Have we gotten,
and maybe I just don't remember, but have we gotten any closure on what was being printed on that giant printer?
No. The one in Ford's house?
Yeah.
Underneath? Yeah. Nope. Never seen it.
But what we do know is that when they take Bernard back down there, it's not there.
Right.
It's empty.
It's not there. It is
empty. The printer's empty.
Yeah. So the old printer was printing something in season one when Bernard killed Teresa.
And it's not there when they go back down there.
Yeah, that's not there. We also don't exactly know whose mine chestnut that Bernard put in his pocket when he went into the Sector 12 lab.
I assumed that was Ford, and he went
that he put him Ford in the cradle.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. But they never actually said that, did they?
They hinted at it because he had flashbacks of doing it while they were in the cradle, and then when he went in, Ford was there.
That's a good point. Okay, so maybe they did put that in the cradle.
But the one that's still getting me, that I still have no idea, is what was being printed on the big old printer that was gone when the Delos people took Bernard back down there.
That is a good question. Yeah, I've wondered that as well. The other thing that I wonder about is what the actual world is like now. Not Westworld, like the United States world, you know, like the Earth.
Yeah, the only glimpse we really got was in this episode when they were at that party and stuff.
Yeah, and like while in season one, there's this random moment when the Man in Black is on his pilgrimage and someone walks up to him and says, thank you for like saving my daughter or for saving my, you know, family member. And he just kind of like shrugs it off and keeps walking. Like, I don't know who you are, you know, but like, so like Delos is doing stuff, you know, like,
well, they mention how charitable and kind that he pretends to be and how he does all this charity. They mention that in this episode.
Yeah.
How the Man in Black does all this charity stuff and gives away so much money. And
I just wonder, like, what the, I guess that plays into the same idea of just like, what's happening in the world, right? What's happening in the rest of what's happening in not Westworld? You know, where are these hosts going to? What's humanity like? I don't know. I just wonder about these things because it's been so contained.
Sure. Yeah.
What about you? Anything else that you're like burning to know?
That printer one, it gets me because I wonder if that is maybe another copy of Bernard, and that's why he wakes up with like no scar and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It could be.
But gosh, who knows? That one gets me, but other than that, like, it's just, I really want to tie up some of the loose ends for this season, and I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah, like, I do appreciate that they've tied up, like, the whole Teresa disappearing thing.
Yeah.
Because that was like, oh, Teresa's so important to the company. And then and then Bernard kills her, and it's like, oh, are we just never going to talk about this again? But, like, no, they want to know what happened.
Yeah, clearly they were investigating, trying to figure out what was going on with that.
So, you know, they've done a good job coming full circle on a lot of things.
They have.
And I do appreciate that. I mean, Ghost Nation, that was the biggest question marker for sure. And they just like wrote the book on that. You know, they just laid all of it out. Yeah, they did.
That was awesome.
So thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. I do appreciate that, because the whole time you're like, what is Ghost Nation? What are they? You know, what do they want? So that was good. Yeah, I want to know too about that person. And I've wondered that too. A lot in season one, because there were several scenes of that thing being printed. And why was it being printed in Ford's house on the old machine?
Because he was trying to keep it on the down low.
I know, right? Because, like, if he just wanted another body, they could make it in the Mesas, like, in, like, minutes. Yeah. You know? And why was this taking, like, potentially days?
Yeah.
Don't know. Crazy.
I don't either. But I'm very excited about the finale. The last few episodes have been outrageous. There's been so much going on.
Yeah, people didn't love this episode, but I thought it was a great setup for the finale. Like, you can't answer everything before the last episode.
No, they really set up for a big final episode. And to me, like, the last couple episodes have kind of been very focused.
Mm-hmm.
On not as many different timelines.
Right.
And this one was just really a lot more focused on the Man in Black, but I think it was necessary. I think there were a lot of questions that we needed to have answered about him and what was going on with him and his daughter.
Yeah. And they did. Like, they gave us the information that we needed. And you know, they're kind of weaving this web of, is he a host? Is he not a host? But, like, we know that who he is a terrible person. And there's
host
no,
or not,
there's
he's just, a douchebag.
There's just no question about that, right? And that's been a question this season, is how bad is William?
Yeah.
Is he bad, or is he, like, kind of bad, but has some redeemable qualities?
Pretty bad. And this,
when in insanity, you shoot your daughter because you think it's Ford, like, that's okay. We got it. I gotcha.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I guess we'll find out next week.
Yeah. So, man, I can't wait for next week. 90-minute season finale, season 2 of Westworld. Whew.
Very excited.
It's going to be good.
Very fun.
So, you know, we're probably going to, like, tweet about this and stuff. So, John, how could people even connect with us if they wanted to?
Oh, they can find us on Twitter and Instagram at watchthis_pod, or they could email us if they have some really long, drawn out, crazy theories.
Yeah.
They can email us at podcastwatchthis@gmail.com.
Yeah. And so make sure that you subscribe. We're on all the podcast platforms, and we're also on Anchor, which, shout out to Anchor for being a really awesome podcast platform. They're the boss right now. And they're doing it all for free. And so I don't even know how they do that, but I'm glad.
No, it's really cool.
So,
it's great service, and we're happy to use it. And we're not sponsored or anything.
That's right. But, it, you know, we could,
we just
you
want
know,
a shout out to a good service all, that lets us, basically lets us make this podcast.
Yeah, they really do. It's been so easy. So, yeah, we'd love for you to subscribe, and we're going to be watching some cool shows coming up after Westworld. So, we're not taking a break. No, sir.
No, we got stuff in the pipe ready for you guys. So we hope you enjoy. And, you know, if you want to go back and watch something else, like Westworld finishes up and you're like, oh, I can't wait. Like, I don't know. I can't wait to hear those guys talk about more stuff.
That's right.
We, you know, all the people who keep thinking that.
We also
did season 1 of The Wire, which, if you go back, you know, first few episodes are about season 1 of The Wire. So check that out. We just appreciate you all listening.
Yeah. So we can't wait for the finale of Westworld. And next week, we'll tell you about other shows that we're going to watch.
Woo-hoo.
So tune in. It's going to be awesome. And we'll see you later.
Bye, everybody.